Okay, so hello, Britton. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today, Lee?
I am doing quite well, thank you. So yes, I mean, wow, I am reading through this, and you are doing a lot of things, I have to say.
Thank you very much. Lee, just really quickly, just for my own reference, what are your pronouns?
My pronouns are he, him. Thank you.
All right, perfect. Same for mine.
Fantastic. Okay, so yes, so before we begin, do you want to get into a little bit of the background of you personally?
Sure. I know that, like, my bio was really, really long, but, like, it really does capture pretty much all of everything. I am the president and founder of Next Generation Men of Transition. Next Generation Men of Transition has been around since I actually started my own physical transition in 2018. And, like, we are the community jack of all trades. Like, you name it, we do it. Mutual aids, civic engagement, community-based building, social justice reform, housing initiatives, wakes, funerals, whatever the community needs, like, we make it happen, clothing drives, and I'm just happy to continue to, like, move in that way, not only for myself, but for my community, and just a little bit about how I started Next Generation Men of Transition. Like I said, it was 2018. I know that I was not the only black or brown trans masculine person in my city, but, like, there really was no visible representation, and I always vowed that visibility is power. And over the years, like, we have grown from a very small number of three or four of us, to maybe about 25, 30 of us. And, you know, like, just with the work that I've been able to do in my own community, it truly has led, you know, just to national recognition to the work that I do, but also the work that's being done here in Rochester. So I'm really proud of that. I am also the first openly black trans masculine person to ever run for city council in Western New York, but also, like, just doing some research and realizing that it was actually statewide. So, you know, like, that's really big for me as well. I am the CEO of Wave Women, Inc., which is an amazing trans feminine organization based here in Rochester, led by Javonna Davis, so I'm happy to be in partnership with that. I have been a co-cover design director for Blackout Magazine for a number of years, and then in this role that we are speaking in, I'm the director and director of advocacy and community engagement for the New Pride Agenda, and then I also wear multiple hats. Like, I'm the gender patient support ombudsperson for the University of Rochester. So I am in everything. Don't ask me when I sleep. I really don't know.
I was gonna ask how you find the time, but that is truly amazing to hear, especially because social advocacy is always a great thing, especially with underserved demographics and populations. So speaking regarding the New Pride Agenda, can you just give us a little bit of an overview about what all that pertains to?
Sure. So the New Pride Agenda, we are always working to advance economic, health, racial, and gender identity justice needs for marginalized LGBTQ plus folks in New York State. We work with a diverse network of communities and elected officials to make sure that folks are educated. We rally our allies, as well as the general public, about just legal protections and rights here in our state.
That's fantastic, because, I mean, legal protections especially, that's something where the law is not self-executing, and people need to be made aware of the rights that they possess in order to utilize them.
Yes, Lee, and that's another, like, so in my role as a director of advocacy and community engagement, just a few civic engagement and community-based building initiatives that I've been able to lead in the last 2 years. So we have a once-a-month statewide advocacy coalition call, and what we do in this coalition call is we bring together LGBTQ plus leaders, activists, community members, allies from across the state to discuss current policies, legislative priorities, ongoing advocacy efforts, and one of the main goals of this space is to continue to bridge the gap between upstate and downstate New Yorkers, especially LGBTQ plus New Yorkers. I think that there's this misconception that what happens in New York City stays in New York City, what happens in Western New York stays in Western New York, but being able to bridge the gap between that narrative and, like, shift in mold and really truly build, like, statewide community-based building, and then allowing folks to know that when we're talking about housing insecurities in New York City, that folks in Western New York are experiencing them just as well. We also have an annual community ballot initiative, and we've been doing that for a few years now as well. And we truly believe in, like, the democratic process. So we sit down and we come together. We create a list of legislative priorities and bills that are on the table. We compile this amazing community ballot with the information that folks need. And then we put it out to the community, and we allow New Yorkers, LGBTQ plus New Yorkers, to choose, like, what our priorities are going into each and every legislative session. And just two more. So, like, that led to last year I created what we call the Gearing Up Forums in Western New York. I think that, like, there's so much work being done in the city that sometimes that information doesn't trickle back down to Western New York. And what I mean by that is, like, when I think about the bills that are on our community ballot agenda, you know, like, sometimes priorities and focuses are really, really different based by region. So I like to make sure that folks all the way from the Capital Region to Niagara Falls know exactly what those bills would do and how they impact us in Western New York, just like they impact us in New York City. And also, when we first started this initiative, you know, like, when we looked at our votes, a lot of our votes came from New York City. So as being someone who lives in Rochester and from Western New York, I needed to see more of a statewide engagement, but also to make sure that folks that live in Western New York were getting this information. And now, you know, that led us to getting everybody involved, and now we have the Western New York Chapter Network.
That is fantastic, especially because, like you had said earlier, they're oftentimes can feel like there's a bit of a disconnect between upstate and downstate, especially when you get to more sparsely populated areas. So being able to just bridge that gap and connect everybody is fundamental to being able to move forward as a whole.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so can you tell us what some of the current goals that the chapter is focusing towards?
Sure. So one of the main goals of the chapter is to create leadership opportunities and bridge advocacy gaps within Western New York. I make this joke all the time. I know that myself and Giovanna, like, we are not the only leading advocacy trans folks, like, especially in Rochester. I can name folks like Kelly Craig from the Pride Center of Western New York, like, these people that I name, we don't stand alone. And I think that, like, being able to have conversations is really imperative. So, like, one of our goals, like I said, is to bridge that advocacy gap, but to build a space where people from Rochester and Buffalo can come together, feel supported, learn to take action, and take action. And, like, we truly focus on critical issues like affordable housing, employment discrimination. This year, Prop 1, the Equal Rights Amendment, has been a really, really big push for us in making sure that even though we live in the blue state, a lot of folks don't understand that Western New York primarily sees red votes. So, like, how are we making sure that this education is getting back to Western New York communities? So that goal for me is just to continue with this volunteer-led chapter, is to really, truly birth and give room for grassroots leaders who are looking to expand their advocacy opportunities.
That is fantastic. And so can you tell us how people who are interested can get involved in the process?
Oh, wow. Outside of, like, Googling me and finding me, of course. But one of the ways to get involved is to go to the New Pride Agenda website, which is www.newprideagenda.org. You can find information there. But the best way to do it is we have a bit.ly for a sign-up form, which is bit.ly. And this is case-sensitive. So it's WNY. They're all capital. The C in chapter is capital. Okay. And these meetings are held every last Monday of the month from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Fantastic. And so, let me think. Is there anything that you want to, that we haven't gone over that you feel is very pertinent?
Two things. One thing that I'll say is, like, a lot of folks, a lot of people say, like, D, what do you want folks to know about, you know, like the Western New York chapter. And I think the biggest takeaway is that this space is open to anyone who aligns with the vision of New Pride Agenda, and that is to advance economic, health, racial, and gender identity justice for all marginalized individuals in New York State. And whether you are new to advocacy or if you have years of experience, this place is for you, because like we really amplify a mix voices from different lived experience, and that's the only way that we're gonna like develop real change. And I know sometimes people will say like, well, you know, what are some of the things that you know, folks in Western New York, like, what are folks experiencing? And for me right now, I would say like one of the most significant issues is the opt-in process for the strongest version of Good Cause in Western New York. So outside of New York City, cities and towns have to opt in for the strongest version of Good Cause eviction in their town. So for in Rochester right now, like just a couple weeks ago, I attended a Speak to Council meeting event. And right now we're asking City Council President Miguel Melendez Jr. to opt in to protect tenants here in the Rochester area. And there are similar efforts going on in Buffalo. So the best way to explain it is it really started... You started to see different cities and towns opt in starting around Albany, and now like we're making our way all the way back, you know, to Niagara Falls. So we finally settled here in Rochester, and we have a Speak to Council coming up on October 17th at the Rochester City Hall. And then, you know, as we're pushing to get the strongest version here in Rochester, you know, like we're going to continue those same efforts in Buffalo and Niagara Falls. And a lot of people don't understand, just we know that, like, in our state, like, housing insecurity is high across the state. But when we look at Buffalo and Rochester, which are some of the larger cities in Western New York, our eviction rates are high. When we think about LGBTQ plus folks and community members, we know that discrimination in regards to housing, just because of someone's sexual orientation or gender identity, those shouldn't even be factor points, but we know that they are key factor points. And another thing that, you know, like why I think that we need to continue to push for the strongest version of Good Cause is because overall, you know, with Kathy Hochul deeming us a safe haven state, people are relocating to New York State, whether it's providers, whether it is trans adults in their families, trans youth and who have affirming parents who are looking for safe places, I think we have to realize that in us being deemed a safe haven state, everyone can't live in New York City. So folks are looking into smaller towns like Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse, Niagara Falls, and surrounding areas. So what really does it look like to create space for folks who are moving to our state to help us move progressiveness forward? Like, I could never imagine being a doctor who loved my job, or being a surgeon who loved my job, and now I can no longer practice, but then I do want to move to New York State, be safe, and then figure out how to create that safe environment. You would need somewhere like a Western New York chapter where, like, you can branch out, community-based build, figure out what organizations are doing what, who's not doing what, and being able to fill in those advocacy gaps.
Fantastic. I mean, because the best way forward is to make sure that you're walking in sync.
Yes.
That is fantastic to hear, Britton. Once again, I mean, because advocacy is something that you can never have enough of, because moving forward is always a fantastic thing. So is there anything else that you really want to tell the viewers?
Join the Western New York chapter, the chapter network. Like, this is one of the reasons, and maybe I'll share this as well, something that, like, isn't too spoken about. We strategically chose Western New York due to its history of being disenfranchised and overlooked, despite of being home, as I said before, to some of the largest cities in the state. And we actually have thriving regional LGBTQ plus communities. So this chapter is a response to that history, and we are aiming to amplify the voices and ensure that unique needs of this region's LGBTQ plus individuals are addressed. And, you know, we could have easily started this in New York City, where the office is. It's being strategic and understanding, like, what is needed by region, and I'm so excited to see, like, what will be birthed out of the Western New York chapter and where the next chapter will be, to be leading the first founding chapter of New Pride Agenda is, I'm speechless, and I'm just thrilled, and I invite everyone to be in this space, because it takes all of us to design what protections look like, because protections look different for everybody.
Absolutely. I have to say that I personally am very excited to see where this goes from here, because like you said, being on that frontier, watching as everything comes into play, it's fantastic to be able to see the progress.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and thank you so much for just making time and understanding like how imperative and how important it is for folks to know that this space exists and also exists virtually. Where it really is accessible to anyone who wants to be in this space. And if I have to move some things around and shift some things around, let me know, because this space is for everyone.
That's fantastic to hear. Is there anything else that we didn't go over that you want to address?
No, thank you so much, Lee, for your time. I greatly appreciate this. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you as well, Britton.